welcome in to another episode of Too Many Points on the Tell Me More podcast. I'm your host, Mac Moore, and we missed a week, but I finally got back, and even better, not only did I get Bobby to join me, Marco is back in the house. Guys, how's it going this morning?
You know, I'm awake, so I know at least you're proud of me.
I couldn't believe it, honestly. I'm glad I sent an early message to try to, like, just get a feel for whether you were going to wake up or not. The last week was tough, and there was, once again, I will give credit where credit's due. This isn't a Bobby situation. I've been very busy at work, and that's been more of the reason that our schedules were not able to align. But this week, we were able to make it happen. Marco was able to be peeled away from his own enterprising podcast. He stepped it up. He's on live streaming. He's making me look like an amateur over here.
Oh, not amateur.
Not amateur. Definitely, man. Inferior is what you're saying.
You know, Amazon Prime Day, I couldn't help myself from buying the tripod, man. And I was like, well, let's see what happens. And then the StreamYard came up. StreamYard's a really cool tool, and I think that I hope that a lot of people hop on it, because it's easy to access. I mean, you feel like you're in a producer truck the way you can run it. It simplifies it so much. So There's your plug, StreamYard. Free plug.
Start to pay us. That'd be nice. I've looked at the product. I've also looked at a handful of their competitors, and if StreamYard would like to keep us on board, they better step up and start paying for this podcast. But until then, we're just going to avoid live stream because my computer can't handle it, and I don't have thousands of dollars to replace this bad boy right now. So we're just going to live with this as is. We're going to talk NFL. We might talk a little bit of MLB. I know Marco got super amped up. I was like, baseball's still on? Is that a thing? That's cool. So we might talk a little playoff action. And from there, I mean, I know there's always NBA news, because even as you get done, we'd missed out, not had too many points during the finals run, which made me sad. But as soon as it's over, it just becomes a never-ending LeBron versus Jordan debate. So there's always NBA stuff to talk about, but we'll focus in on football because that's the thing that's most important. Marco, do you think we should talk about NCAA football, or are the Jayhawks sad enough that we can just skip it?
I think the Jayhawks are sad enough that we can skip it. And, you know, the NCAA, who knows what's going to be happening, because now they're allowing their coaches to coach on the sideline with COVID. So
I mean, I was thinking, Les Miles stepped up and decided not to go. I know it's a little bit different being truly positive versus believing right. You were a negative. I don't know how he got he got a positive, and then we saw him coughing on the sideline, and then he gets a negative a few days later. I'm not trusting Nick Saban right now. I'm not trusting it. But at least his former assistant, Les Miles, is willing to step up, stay off the field. I thought they were going to get, like, the segue with, like, a tablet. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen it. They've done it on a handful of shows. It's definitely the best option. Or you could be like in How I Met Your Mother during the wedding. Marshall was on a tablet that they just kept, like, putting on, like, stuffed clothes and made, like, a person out of it. So there's a few options that they just weren't willing to do. They just let Joshua Argle take over, which it doesn't matter. Wasn't going to change the outcome of that game. I do want to ask Bobby, though. This is the only NCAA football question that matters. So – Clemson just destroying, just utter massacre on Saturday. They got, I think, three different people pass, but it wasn't three quarterbacks. They put a punter in the game. So knowing your policy on kickers don't matter, do they matter when they take the ball from under center?
No, they will never matter, especially in college, because there are so many times I will need a kicker. Like, this is like a 30-yard field goal. You're a college kicker, and they, like, missed it left by 700 miles. So, no, especially in college where half of the kickers can't make a 20-yard field goal and half the punters can't punt it past 20 yards, that guy could have thrown for 600 yards and seven tutties, and I still would be sitting on my soapbox telling you about how much I hate college special teams.
All right, fair enough. At least you stay consistent, Bobby. Ridiculous, but consistent. So we're going to jump into NFL. Sadly, since we didn't have the podcast last week, Bobby and I did not get to do Bobby's hypothetical sports bets. Just know that I'm leading immensely, and we'll get some in today. And now it'll be even more confusing because we're going to throw Marco into the mix.
And Champions League starts today.
Yeah, so that's more money for me to just throw down the toilet. I'm excited. But we'll start with NFL, and obviously we're just coming off a double Monday night. I only care about the Chiefs-Bills. I barely paid attention to the second game last night. So we'll start with that, and it's good we got a week off because last week, you know, we had the loss with the Chiefs. I think the early takeaway is, okay, offensive line just can't hold up. And the, you know, obviously the secondary that had we knew they were question marks going into the season, but they played out of their minds for the first few weeks. I even asked Bobby on our last podcast, is this just a mirage? Like, is there a reason why this is working? We found out, yes, it was a mirage. They got torn apart by the Raiders. And sure enough, we get 1 week and we don't even get to have those talking points because the opposite happened. They win a game entirely from the offensive line bulldozing the Buffalo Bills. You have a great game from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm going to have to stop and slowly pronounce it every single time. And the defense holds up, stops the Bills when they need to. So big takeaways from that game. We'll start with Bobby because I just know I see the smirk on his face. He's ready to spit some hot fire. Bobby, what'd you think of Buffalo getting taken down by the Kansas City Chiefs?
The smirk's actually for my dog trying to sneak in the door constantly because she can't go like 2 seconds without having sight of me or she thinks I'm lost. But, I mean, the hottest take about the Buffalo Bills is the fact that they weren't exposed by the Chiefs. They were exposed by the Tennessee Titans last week. And out of any team to expose you, you have the Titans exposed you. And they exposed you bad of Ryan Tannehill. And now the Dolphins are so confident that the Bills, the Patriots, and the Jets are fake. They benched their starting quarterback before Fitzpatrick turned into a pumpkin, and they're going with Tua. But for, I mean, I was working yesterday. I didn't see much from the Chiefs. All I saw was the highlights. I saw a little bit when I could sneak it in on my phone. But, I mean, the Bills kind of, you know, they regressed a lot. Once you have to actually have Josh Allen mix those passes, all of a sudden he can't make them. And, you know, for the Chiefs, they have a fantastic running game now. I'm still never going to be sold on that secondary because I think it is just mostly scheme. But, I mean, no real hot takes this week besides, you know, I can't wait to watch the Chiefs and the Raiders go down the line.
Marco, Chiefs fan, you gotta tell me, when you're watching that game, does it make up for the sadness we felt losing to the Raiders last week?
Yes, it does. And the sadness, really, I unfortunately wasn't able to join you guys to talk about that game, but, you know, it was the Chiefs had lost to the Colts last year in the same week, and they went on and won the Super Bowl. That Raiders game to me was a division game, so they're going to give it your all. That was your first against the Raiders, especially at home, a place where you usually embarrass a John Gruden Raiders team, which they had in the last two seasons. And so it was one of those just like, all right, bounce back. And that's what the Chiefs did. The Chiefs team did what they had to do, and they bounced back against an important team in their conference, a team that they have to get a win against because if you for the future for the future outlook when you look at it down the line. But, yeah, I think that Chiefs found themselves. I like Bobby's take of how the Titans were the ones that exposed the Bills because then I go back and I look at their schedule. Yeah, they played the Jets, the Dolphins, the Rams, the Raiders, not – really good football teams. And then they played against the two teams that were in last year's conference championship and they can't even put 20 on the board. So the Chiefs having Spags being able to do what he did against the Bills, because I'm with Bobby. It's a scheme thing. Spagnuolo has a lot to do with that defense. And it showed that if they're going to be going up against a Bills team later on in the playoffs, maybe, then maybe there's not so much to be worried about because there's ways that you can beat this team.
Yeah, and I think the way Bobby phrased it last week was that Spags knows what to do with this group. But I think even more importantly, they know what to do against people who are predictable. They know what to do against – so even as amazing as Lamar Jackson is, you know what that game looks like when they get what they want. Going against the Bills, it's the same way. The way that game plays out when it's going well for Josh Allen is one way. And so when you know what that is, it's easier to mask your deficiencies. The problem became for the Raiders game, the thing that you know that the Raiders don't want to do is throw deep. But they come into a game with Ruggs thrown in there, and they did. For the first time under John Gruden, the Raiders went deep. And Derek Carr has not been an amazing quarterback, but he has an arm, and he is decently accurate on the long ball. So when you come in and you think that that's going to not be their strong point, and that's what they hit you with home runs the whole time, they weren't ready for it, and they don't have the horses to change that in the middle of the game and make up for it. And it killed them in that game. So that'll be interesting to see as they start facing other teams down the line, because what happens when you're not facing somebody that it's easy to predict? Luckily, the Chiefs last year, Texans, easy to figure out. They're throwing the football. When you face the Titans, easy to predict. They're giving it to Derrick Henry. When you're facing the 49ers, easy to predict. Jimmy Garoppolo will throw with his eyes closed. So if you start, they face really good teams. Those teams beat a lot of the other teams that actually had better balance that might have gave the Chiefs defense more trouble than it did on their path to the Super Bowl. But we'll have to see. I haven't looked ahead at the schedule at who I'm the most scared of going forward. But the Chiefs defense, if it has to win games like it did against Buffalo, don't expect that to work. But if they can keep running the way that they're running, eventually teams will have to stop putting seven back to stop Patrick Mahomes. And if you can't do that, if the rushing attack is good enough to prevent you from playing that style of defense, Patrick Mahomes is just going to eat this year. So I'm excited to see for how that goes going forward. They can keep that unit together. I forget the center's name that they threw in at the last minute, but he just started bulldozing people immediately. Like they were like, oh, we don't have the starting center. They're going to take even a bigger step back. Nope. Offensive line got it together, and they murdered a pretty good Buffalo Bills front seven. So I'm excited to see if that holds up in future weeks or if they just caught Buffalo by surprise. What's the next game? I'm going to leave it to you guys. This, I'm not even a host anymore. We're just talking football, and it can go to wherever anybody wants to go. Marco, we'll start with you. Big story from NFL. What stands out as something you really want to talk about that happened over this last week?
Well, let me get back on the scoreboard pulled up, because I remember I had one tracing in my mind. One thing I really like to see is T. Higgins, man. He's making a name for himself out there in Cincinnati. You got to follow where the number one pick is at in Joe Burrow, and you got to see how the team is. So I feel like you have to follow the Bengals this year to see where this team's at, and so that we can judge them later on in the year. They're just a young team that's tough. I think that the Colts were able to use that veteran presence that they have and get that win. But be on the lookout right now. I think that Joe Burrow is finally finding his number one, and that's in the and that's with T. Higgins, who I'm really like watching out there.
Well, since you bring that up, it's exactly the thing I wanted to talk to Bobby about. I wanted to update an old bit that we had, which is we always used to ask if a certain team was for real, but I started to realize it was never about that team. It was about the quarterback. So now the new segment will be, Bobby, are the Colts for real?
No. Philip Rivers can be real for three quarters. The fourth quarter comes around and you know he's itching to throw that pick in the red zone that he doesn't need to.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL, if you just took bottom, like you're just getting somebody that's like a Gardner Minshew type, you're just deciding, I don't need a thoroughbred that's picked in the first round. I just want anybody else that might accidentally become an average quarterback, and I'd take him over Philip Rivers. How many guys are there in the NFL that meet that criteria?
Average, or are we talking about like Drew Brees, Tom Brady level?
I'm literally guys that like you could have gotten them in the fourth round. Some of them are undrafted. Some of these guys, they're on like their third stint somewhere. You know, you got your Josh Rosens of the world that are awful. But you got other guys that also got kicked out. They whatever coach got them didn't want to keep them. But in all honesty, they might be better than Philip Rivers right now. Like the Fitzpatricks of the world that just keep jumping from team to team.
I was about to say Fitzpatrick to the Cowboys for a run at the division title, going 6-10. I mean, I like that meme. I like that meme a lot.
If that happens, who wins more games? Is it Colts or Dallas down the stretch?
Down the stretch?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't bet against Ryan Fitzpatrick down the stretch.
All right. Well, in fairness, the Colts are better prepared to win in spite of Phillip Rivers than the Dallas Cowboys are to win because they've added Fitzpatrick, but their defense will just not allow that to ever happen. So,
here's the thing, how you really motivate Andy Dalton. You need a new backup now. And who can you have motivate Dalton more than anyone? You sign TJ Yates as your backup quarterback.
Well, like, just think from a psychological standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to light a fire under his ass. He's like, I can't lose this guy in the playoffs and get benched for him.
I mean, that's what Khalil Mack did for Nick Foles in that last game when he put on Dreams and Nightmares, and Foles talked about how it pumped him up. I like using the psychological effect to make players either just to get into that mindset, like, I gotta get going, and we gotta get going.
All right, so since we're on the Fitzpatrick topic, let's talk about that change the Miami Dolphins announced this morning, that they're gonna go with Tua in the middle of a playoff push. So when you're making that decision, when you're trying to figure out when to play him, is a moment when you're 3-3 and Fitzpatrick the bottom hasn't fallen out like we've seen it in so many years past when he gets off to a hot start. Do you make that move at this time? If you were in charge, would you go to Tua right now?
I'm assuming they had a plan to go to Tua the whole time, but the fact that they didn't have the practice time is probably what's, you know, added on the 6 weeks. So I'm assuming that the Dolphins always knew this was coming. And as you mentioned, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know the bottom's going to fall out at some point. The Dolphins aren't a really talented team. They beat up on the Jets, and they beat up on the 49ers when Jimmy G could barely even throw a pass, and that team was injured all to hell. We saw what they looked like against the Rams when Jimmy G could actually, you know, plant on that back foot and throw a little bit. So, I mean, the playoff push is just a mirage because it's pretty much just how bad that division is now when you have the Jets, who aren't going to win anything, the Patriots, who have Cam Newton holding the ball in the pocket for 7 years before he decides to miss a wide receiver by 10 yards now. So, I mean, Tua's the future. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he's always a bridge quarterback. You know, trade him away while he's got, you know, a 6th-round pick value and, you know, move on to your future.
I like to imagine Brian Flores is just really into analytics, and he figured out the exact moment when Fitzpatrick would regress. And he's like, pull it now. And hopefully he sits for the games he's bad. Bring him back in week 9, week 10, and get him back out there to get you that playoff push. Seems like a good plan. I hope that's what's happening. Marco, does that sound like what the plan is, or is it just they know that Tua needed that time, they gave it to him, and it didn't matter what Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing. It didn't even really matter what their record was. This is the time that Tua is ready, and we got to get our franchise quarterback on the field.
Yeah, I like it for Brian Flores as a move. Now that I'm looking at Miami's schedule, you're going to be throwing him into a fire. They got to play the Rams in his first game. They're going to play the Cardinals. Cardinals defense, I still respect it. We saw what Buda Baker did last night to Andy Dalton. He had a field day in the secondary and blitzing. And then you got a team like the Chargers who are bound to win at some point because they keep dropping them early. And I think that's a game where we may see it's going to be, again, maybe we see a shootout between Herbert and Tua. But once again, it's a tough secondary. And then you got a Broncos team who I'm not really going to get much into because I don't know much about the Patriots offense, but I do know that they forced 2 turnovers yesterday against Cam.
All you need to know about that Patriots offense is they can kind of run the football, yeah, and they have no one to throw to.
That's what I suspected, and that's what I'm – and that's – but that defense is still there. But, yeah, that's what I kind of suspected. They got a lot of young wide receivers on that team. But I don't know if I had my preach. I'm glad you're here, Bobby. Those 2 tight ends, those are something. I don't know why Bill's hiding them, but they're going to be somebody's one day, and I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
So with the Patriots, the big thing, I think, is missing all the practices where I think if you asked any, like, you know, veteran NFL player, they'd say that missing a practice isn't that big of a deal. They've gone through all the reps. They know everything. But this is a year where you've never gotten the reps. Like, you missed them in the off season. You didn't get the preseason games. Once you miss weeks of your only practice time, just 5 weeks into the year, you're going to have a hard time putting it together with a different quarterback in, with basically a completely different concept, as much as they talk about it being, okay, we were actually giving principles that we got from the, you know, the Florida offense and, you know, all this stuff to Tom Brady. It's a completely different ball game when it's Cam Newton back there. You are going to draw up a bunch of different things that you need the time to gain that chemistry. You also need the time to just get in all those plays, and you're not when you're just having these practices disrupted. Where everybody else is still on the upswing, they're finally getting into the groove. The Patriots were immediately pulled out of it, and now are back out there getting their ass kicked, which, you know, maybe the Broncos are just a little bit better than we give it credit for. At this point, Drew Locke hasn't shown himself to be a bad quarterback, so the 18-12 loss, it could be not as bad as it looks. And we'll see. If I trust any coach to recover from this, it's Bill Belichick. But I know Bobby just loves to sit there and do his reverse jinxes and pretend. And, like, the Patriots aren't going to win the damn division again. Like, we'll see.
No,
we'll see.
No.
Like, you imagine that bad teams are going to beat them for the division. If there was a good team and they were in this situation, maybe. And then I'd still just 50-50 coin flip. Assume Bill Belichick could just steal it from him anyways. There's not a good team to steal it from him. By the time this shakes out, I have no doubt Patriots will be in the front of the AFC East. Does that mean they'll be a title contender? We'll wait and see. But don't give me this shit like they're going to lose the division to the Dolphins. Get the hell out of here, Bobby.
The Bills still have a chance to go 14-2. The 16-0 meme is dead, but 14-2 is still alive. But I kind of froze on the tight ends, but it kind of is apropos to the offense. They do freeze whenever they look at a tight end. You know, they throw to Izzo for some reason, and I believe he, like, fumbled instantly his first touch of the game. But, I mean, if you take that Patriots offense and you put it on any other team, that looks like a high school offense. Let's be honest here. N'Keal Harry had two targets on Sunday, and both of those targets he slipped and fell on. The dude can't play that well. Edelman is Edelman. We know he's a stud for what he does. He's a great slot receiver, but they have no one to go downfield. He's thrown a bird, and he's, you know, checking down on James White. I mean, Tom Brady almost held this team together. Cam Newton isn't that type of player. He's a fantastic athlete. He can do it when he, you know, every once in a while, as we saw in that Seattle game, but he was completely lost against Denver. It's going to look a little bit better once they do get back into that rhythm and they get that practice back. But the defense can only do so much, and the Patriots are going to have to put up 20-plus points in some games. And with this offense, when they have almost zero weapons on it, I just don't see it happen constantly, especially when you go up against Buffalo. And I'm assuming Buffalo gets back on track and they can score 20 points at some point again.
We'll see. All I know is Josh Allen's still getting me a lot of fantasy points in the losses, so I don't care. They could lose every game as long as he keeps just running for just enough yards to help me get a fantasy football championship. But we were talking earlier about the Titans being the one that actually showed Buffalo maybe wasn't the great team. We were trying to figure out which undefeateds were maybe frauds, and now – we got the Steelers, we got the Titans, and I think at this point, when we've looked at it, I think most people would have picked the Steelers to be the most likely to be for real, and they haven't done anything to lose that, but they also don't have the resume that the Titans have amassed right now on their way to five wins and surviving the you know, we talked about the lost practices for the Patriots. That didn't do anything to the Titans. They kept rolling, and now where you have basically Ryan Tannehill in – I feel like he's in the same role that Alex Smith was in the final year before Patrick Mahomes took over. Andy Reid was coming up with all this fancy stuff that he was really just test running before he got to let Patrick Mahomes unleash it the next year. Had the right guys in the right position, just a lot of stud athletes around that team, to say nothing of Derrick Henry. Just in any other era, Derrick Henry, you talk about him like a Jim Brown. And we can't even do that. We just talk about how much he embarrasses guys like Josh Norman. Like, he is so good, but in an era where it doesn't matter as much. But when you have that passing game with it, and Tannehill is like Alex Smith, except he is taking the deep shots. He is connecting with those guys and has more of the arm strength to do it than Alex Smith did. Like, that is a good position to be in, because you're not giving the ball over. You're making big plays outside of Derrick Henry just carrying the team to victory. And the defense is good enough at this point. Like, they're not dominant, but they're doing their job and sometimes get help from Mike Vrabel's just cleverness on the sideline with throwing an extra man on the field. Although I feel like we overcredited a play where he only saved 40 seconds because the Texans threw a pass incomplete immediately after. But anyways, they get the victory. They look really good. And I want to think that the Steelers are better, and I don't know how much is just historically speaking. I don't know how much because I don't know if I'll ever trust Ryan Tannehill. And then I don't know how much is that team, while they don't have as great of a resume as the Titans do right now, the Steelers beating a Browns team that was just steamrolling everybody. Like, they came in, they did what they needed to do, and there's nothing I've seen so far that makes me think fluke. And even though the Titans, the part that I thought would be fluky, Tannehill making plays down the field, that's still going. But I feel like there's a better chance of that slipping away than what the Steelers are doing, which is just good old-fashioned football and Big Ben just being this big ogre that never falls down. And now is even throwing deep again. So the Steelers went 4-0 without Big Ben playing the style of the ball he does. Which team, when you're looking at him, do you think is the true contender in the AFC?
I mean, I'm always going to go with the Steelers in this situation because it really boils down to who do you trust more, Ben Roethlisberger, the Super Bowl champion, or Ryan Tannehill, the guy that, you know, the Dolphins gave up on how many times? And, I mean, if we're talking about that Houston game, me and Deshaun Watson pretty much had that same reaction whenever the Titans won the coin toss because I was playing Derrick Henry in fantasy football, and I knew it was coming. But – I mean, you have Chase Claypool, you have Juju Smith-Schuster, you have James Conner. You have a fantastic defense for the Steelers. On the opposite side, you have Ryan Tannehill throwing A.J. Brown, Smith, the tight end, Derrick Henry. They still have a fantastic Mike Vrabel defense. But if I ever have to bet on Ben Roethlisberger or Ryan Tannehill, which I will be doing this weekend, by the way, and I will be taking Ben Roethlisberger -2.
If we get rid of Ryan Tannehill's Dolphins experience and we just look at it, and I know it's hard to do, but you just look at what he's done as a Tennessee Titan, what he's done without Adam Gase just being an albatross around his neck. Do we look at it the same way? Can we look at Tannehill as somebody? And I wouldn't even say I've seen people talking about it like it's elite, but it's elite throwing to monsters that he has at receiver. And those monsters are just, you know, extra. Like, they don't even have to be as good as they are because Derrick Henry is doing all of the work. So, I don't think he's elite, but I haven't seen him play poorly at any point for the Tennessee Titans. Like, he was a young quarterback with a lot of potential, played wide receiver more than quarterback heading into the NFL, so you knew it was going to take longer to teach him how to play. And he didn't even have good teachers. Now, he still has that skill set. It hasn't diminished. He's on a team that's put him in a system that works for him. And he actually does have, like, that physical capability. Like, that's usually what's missing when you have guys that have been that bad early on. It's like, well, okay, maybe he's figuring it out, but he's still just not an elite quarterback. He has all the talent to be elite, and they've at least put him in a position not to suck. Like, if you just take Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill, is that good enough to bet against a Ben Roethlisberger who he has all the accolades, but he has not been Big Ben at any point this season?
That's a fair question. I think that I just don't think there's been teams that have really challenged Tannehill. And that being said, it's because they've had to play teams like the Jaguars who are hurting on defense, the Vikings, they got a young defense, the Bills. After watching them last night in a full game, I think that once you get them frustrated and if you get the Bills down early, then their defense is kind of, you know, I don't think they're going to live up to or play at the level that they're supposed to be playing at. And then of course they got the win against the Titans last week. I think that this is going to be a real telling game, and it couldn't come at a perfect time, week 6, a middle of the season kind of game where you got two heavy division leaders going at it against each other. And I think that the Steelers right now have a better, scarier defense, more intimidating defense, because I think that's what you have to do is you just got to make Tannehill uncomfortable. And if you're gonna eliminate the Steelers, I don't think the Titans can, but I think that the Steelers can eliminate the best part about the Titans, and that's that Derrick Henry run game. Because you talk about Ben Roethlisberger not being Ben Roethlisberger, I think that, you know, Chase Claypool, the new wide, that Notre Dame kid, I think that he's kind of, you know, put a new bolt into, not a, maybe a bolt of energy into Big Ben, saying like, hey, I'm not some old guy that you're used to throwing to. I'm some young gun that you can go downfield to, and I can change the dynamic of this offense. So it's gonna be a real telling game on Sunday. But I think the Steelers, once again, and the coaching, you cannot just ignore Mike Tomlin on the other sideline. The guy went 8-8 last year with Doug Hodges. I just see the Steelers as a better team than the Titans. But the Titans have the pieces, and they can still come out as an AFC South champion.
Okay. Also, they stole Minkah Fitzpatrick to get their team
That's
good
fine.
Enough to do that. Not just Mike Tomlin. Don't just pretend Mike Tomlin did all the work there. The GM had to step
That's
in
true.
And take advantage of a Dolphins team that has otherwise made some decent moves. But
they
God,
have.
That was – just so ridiculous that happened. That's the type of move that needs to be stopped by the commissioner. Roger Goodell, do your damn job. Is there any other games from this week that we want to talk about before we get to everybody's favorite segment, which is Bobby's hypothetical sports bets?
Oh, go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say we're almost at the most monotone section of them all.
Quick question is, are the Packs out of it and the Bucks real, or are they both contenders? The Bucks are team that be taken more serious now?
I think that we knew what the Bucks defense could do. Mm-hmm. We just didn't know if they could do it against someone like Aaron Rodgers. And we were expecting Aaron Rodgers to throw all over them and Aaron Jones to run the ball down their throats. And they did do that for the first couple drives. But as soon as Aaron Rodgers got that pick six and then Davante Adams had that slam pass knocked out of his hands for the second pick, I think that the Bucs defense got a little bit of swag going and that Packers offense started questioning themselves a little bit, and then they just turned up the heat for the whole game. I'm still not sold on that Bucs offense. I keep waiting for them to have that really breakout game. They did drop 38 points. I think that was mostly on the back of the defense, just shutting down Aaron Rodgers for that whole game and just giving him a couple freebie possessions. I think Brady had almost like 190 yards and two touchdowns. Nothing fantastic. It wasn't a blow-away game, what you would have thought he would have had. But, I mean, I think they're both contenders. Sad to say, the Packers are probably now having a little bit of challengers in the book. Not the Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bears for their division. But I suspect to see both these teams in the playoffs deep in January.
Yeah, and I think you just can't face a team, unless you're facing the Jets, you can't bust out the Hingle McKringleberry. You just can't. Like, that
Was
team
it
better
two
be
or
pumped.
Three pumps?
I don't know if he – I didn't see whether he did the three pumps, but it's three pumps and it's over. Like, you're not only getting a penalty flag, you're getting the Buccaneers to start whooping your ass. So you brought that on yourself, Aaron. Too confident.
The best thing about that was the announcers completely no-sold it because they had no idea what it was from.
They
were completely lost as everyone else in America was like, this is awesome. The announcer's like, oh, that's a new one. I haven't seen that before. I'm like, yeah, you have. Millions of people have.
Well, I don't even need them to know the reference, but like, it's just funny in and of itself. So the fact that they take it that seriously, that they're like, are we allowed to show this on television? Like, that attitude is what's really funny. But I think looking at the team, people have – there are games you will not play as well as you want to play. I think the scariest thing for the Packers, though, is that they came into this year, we thought it was going to be defense again, give the ball to Aaron Jones, and instead Aaron Rodgers came out and said, I'm going to put this team on back, I'm going to do everything. And he now got into a game with a legitimate contender, and it looked bad. So the question becomes, is he that MVP candidate that we watched scorch earth the first 5 weeks, or is he this guy? And if he's this guy, that's a problem. Like, that Packers team, I think, particularly with what we've seen them do this year, they've needed Aaron Rodgers to be that guy to win. Everybody's talked about it like they've just been great, but like they'd be their record would be pretty bad right now if Aaron Rodgers even played like slightly better than he did last year instead of out of his mind. They've needed that. And if that's gone, that's not a team. That's a team that'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to do much. So we'll see over the next few weeks how much which is the real Aaron Rodgers. So yeah. Like then he can do some sort of Eminem skit on the field. The announcer still won't know what's going on, and we'll have a damn good time. I think that's all I care about. Marco, though, just every time he looks down at the screen, finds a new game to keep this podcast going longer. So
No, that's it. That Packers and Bucks was just the one that shocked me because I had hammered the Packers. I thought it was going to be the other way around, man, after watching the Bucks on Thursday night. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm a Rodgers guy. I'm a Rodgers believer. If Brendan Dorzinski is the biggest Aaron Rodgers advocate, then I'm the next one dying to because I believe he's a superstar quarterback. But it's just one of those games that caught my eye. It's like, that's not a score that you would expect to see between those two teams. If you follow the NFL this year, it was a lopsided game.
Yeah. So we'll see if those two trajectories stay in week 7. But first, we got to get our bets in. We got to do the best segment in all of my podcasting. Bobby, take it away.
I mean, I haven't even done a rant this year. So we haven't got to one of those yet.
And our numbers are off the charts. So apparently we just have to stop doing those.
I mean, that's what the people really want, though. That's what's going to make us pop.
The analytics do not support that theory.
All right. Fair enough. But since we got three of us, I'm going to do the usual 5 shitty games that you won't want to watch, Mac. But we're all going to pick the games. So this is how usually we go. So, and then we're
gonna do a big fan of the face off, but I'll get over it. We'll deal with this. If we start getting those like 3 straight, we're all on the same side. I'm just canceling the segment though. So, somebody play devil's advocate if you have to.
Don't worry, these are gonna be some special games, and I don't think we're all gonna agree on them, or we're all gonna agree on them. And I'm like, all right, never mind, stop, let's try it again. But so, we're gonna go Mac, Marco, me. That's how it is on my screen. So, first game, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Washington football team. The Cowboys are -2.
What?
Wow, really? They watched last night's game, right?
I mean, they also watched the Washington football team and Kyle Allen, I guess.
Man. So I got to go first. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Man, that's not fair. Oh.
As the leading champion of the season so far.
I guess, I'm going to go Cowboys, I guess. That's hard. I don't want to watch that game. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm picking it.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cowboys. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'll go Cowboys too because – I just think they have a better team. Isn't like aren't they supposed to have some defensive players come back this week from injury? I feel like week 6 was a date circled by them.
I know they got Vander Esch back this week or yesterday.
I think Sean Lee's supposed to be coming back for this game. Maybe like, I don't know. Dallas. I would take Dallas in this one, just because of weapons.
I'm going the Washington football team, and I believe they're going to do a surprise Alex Smith start, and that's what's going to give me the dub.
Oh, I like that.
And, okay, next fantastic game. You got the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. This is one of those fantastic games, Mac, I talk about every week that someone in Vegas just got fired. This game opened up at -2. It is currently Buffalo -13.
That's not even – that you did the segment as, like, that's the guy who needs to be fired. Like, this is a criminal activity you're describing. You're describing fraud. Like, a man committed fraud, and then they moved the lines. That's what happened. All right.
Basically, I just wish I lived in Vegas for the opening lines every week.
We'd all be in prison. I mean, somebody's going to jail for this. Once again, I'm sticking with Buffalo. I went last week, just deciding that the Jets could not cover no matter how ridiculous the line was, and it keeps being true. This might be the time that, you know, you regress a little bit. Buffalo, though, when you have a couple games where you can't score points and the offense was previously just steamrolling people, this is the type of, like, game where you puff out your chest while beating the crap out of a crappy Jets team. I can see them putting up points. I'll take Buffalo.
For the Jets now, it's not a matter of are they going to cover this game. It's a matter of, is this the game they're going to fire Adam Gase maybe after this one? Yeah, give me Buffalo in that one. -2. Who the heck would have came out with that line first? That just doesn't sound right.
I don't know. Maybe they thought Brett Favre was coming back for the Jets or something.
A surprise start for them, too.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell Mac in the NFL, if it's over 10, you got to take the points. But there's zero chance I think the Jets can even score 10 mm-hmm. points in a game this year. So I'm going to take Buffalo.
I'm trying to think also, for the teams that had the double-digit spread, had they covered? I feel like it's the other way around. I think Dallas was a 10-point favorite – or not Dallas, but someone was a 10-point favorite at one point. I know the Chiefs were a double-digit favorite against Oakland. They didn't cover, obviously. But in this situation
– I missed on the Chiefs, but I know Bobby picked it. The week before that, I know there was one that I just sat with, and it had to have been the Jets again, but I don't know mm-hmm. who they were facing.
And
they
it was just, Cowboys and Giants. That's who it was, I think. Cowboys and Giants, and the Giants ended up winning that game.
And then, well, they only lost by like 3, didn't they?
Yes, because it was a field goal. Oh, you're right. Sorry, yeah, it was Dallas like -10, I believe.
Yeah,
Giants lost by 3.
Then you had, you know, the Baltimore -10 getting backdoored last week. Then you mm-hmm. had the Niners -10 or whatever it was against the Eagles and straight up getting reverse covered.
Yep.
But this is actually a good game. I already told you what I'm betting on this game. You got the Steelers -2 at the Titans.
Mark, I'm going to let you go first.
I like that line. I'm going to do -2 because it could be one of those games where it's tied and you got to deal with Chris Boswell game-winning field goal. So I'll take the Steelers on that one. And also their I like their defense against this Titans offense.
I gotta say that at this point, there's only one team for me to pick. I know who seems like they should be the favorite. I know the reasoning. Bobby laid it out earlier pretty darn well. But I'm going the Titans because, one, I said we needed a devil's advocate. Two, I think this Titans team just keeps steamrolling. I think this is a team of destiny. I think this is a team that we're going to be so surprised about how good they are this year. They had one of the best runs getting to the conference championship game last year, and everybody thought they'd regress. And instead, they are going to put up the best record in the AFC, only for Patrick Mahomes to come back, stomp them again on the way to the Super Bowl. So that's long-term fantasy booking right there. And the only way that happens is if the Titans beat the Steelers today or, you know, in this game. So they're going to have to come through, get me that bet. Yeah, that's where I'm at. It's not based on any logic, but that's what I'm going with right now.
I like it. I like it. So normally we bet the Chiefs game because, you know, we have Chiefs fans, but I don't care about the Chiefs and the Broncos. I see a more zesty matchup right below it. You got the Jaguars at the Chargers. The Chargers are -8.
Once again, I'll let Marco go first. I need to go and look at the schedule.
You're yielding your time.
Yep. I'm putting it on pause. This is like a chess game. I'm hitting the button. Now it's Marco's move.
The Jaguars are the dogs in this one. Wow. See, that's one I got to look at too also. But I'm just thinking – I'm trying to think on that Jaguars offense, is this going to be – I like the Chargers secondary in this one. I like them going after Minshew. I think that – because I'm trying to think who – it's DJ Chark out there. And then the tight end was a former Chief also. The duck guy too, Duck Dynasty. I like the Chargers this one because Herbert's offense, they can put up a lot of points. And I think that this is not – I think that on the other side, this is the Jaguars' offense is a team that you can stop. But I'm going to take the Jaguars in this one because they'll lose by less than a touchdown. They'll stay with them. It'll be a close one.
I'm trying to look and see if the Chargers. I was ready to go that Jaguars, whenever they face like a good team, isn't what stomps them. You know, they still stayed in it with the Titans, mm-hmm. but facing a high-powered offense, it got destroyed by the Texans. I feel like there was at least one other game, Lions, where it's all passing with mm-hmm. Matt Stafford. Although their running game did a lot of damage in the red zone, I feel like that offense. But I'm not sure the Chargers are really there. I think Justin Herbert's less of a high-powered, consistent offense, more so than a couple big plays that pump up his stats.
And they can't close out games.
I'm gonna keep with the Jaguars as well. There, I think the Chargers aren't quite ready to be beating anybody by more than a touchdown.
You know what? I would agree with that for the most part, but I believe that the Jags just lost to the Lions like 30-13.
Yeah, just and explain that, man.
Yeah, I know. That's my point exactly for why I am going to bet the Chargers. If you just lost to the Lions 30-13, I'm going to bet on Justin Herbert instead.
Matt Stafford, it can't beat good teams, but if he's facing middle-of-the-road guys, he's going to light it up. Like, it's not crazy to lose to the Lions by 14. Like, it's not crazy to lose to the Texans by 14. Like, in a game where you're going to lose to those teams, it's going to be by a lot. Like, they are going to put on some fireworks. It's on a team like, you know, the Chargers, where maybe Herbert does have a good game. He has a couple big plays, gets them the lead, but then they try to run out the clock, and the Jaguars get garbage time TDs to get back in it, and the Chargers haven't proven they're consistent enough to fully put that game away, at least not early. Maybe the Jaguars aren't good enough to actually come back for the win, but they can come back to cover the spread. That's where I'm at. I'm not even close to thinking the Jaguars will win this game. Mm-hmm. Just think that Chargers are going to have a tough time winning by 8.
All right. I appreciate the confidence and I like it. So I'm going to do a 2-for-1 special this week on my fish fillet bet of the week. This is doubling down as the fish fillet bet of the week.
You're just trying to make up ground because you've been getting your ass kicked all season.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what the stats are for the season. And, you know,
it's on Twitter. It's really,
it is on Twitter, but like I said, it's fake news. So we don't need to worry about it. And then the final fantastic masterpiece on Monday night, you have Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are -6.
Once again, going to kick it to Marco.
Who are the Rams playing?
Who are they playing? They're playing the Bears.
Playing the Bears? Give me the Bears in this one. Give me the Bears. I think they're riding on a high right now. Nick Foles can beat good teams. Prime time. The Rams are a team that, you know, they were that Super Bowl team and they lost. And usually you get cursed after that. They got cursed by paying players too much money. Probably didn't deserve that much money. I for some reason I'm on that Bears high with it. They can challenge Green Bay this year. I think that Nick Foles fits well within the Matt Nagy offense. I just have yet to doubt the Bears. I'm not doubting this season. I would make fun of the Bears. I got friends who are Bears fans who were going in really low into the season, and now they're sitting at the top of the NFC North. I like them in this one. I think that they're a team that continues to run high. It reminds me of that first Andy Reid Chiefs team that was going battling with the Broncos. They went 0-2 against them in that season. Bears will probably go 0-2 against the Packers, but they're a team that's growing. But I like them in this matchup against – I like them in the matchup against the Rams. I like them staying on top.
I'm going to go Rams, mostly because Marco's wrong.
That's fine.
Now, so I'll go with the Rams because – I don't trust the Bears at all. I don't trust Nick Foles at all. I think any, like, talk about the big games he's winning, like, he had a really good team that he got to take over. He did an amazing job stepping into that role, and it wasn't even – he's not playing game manager. He took over for that Eagles title run. Bobby knows it all too well. So
no, I don't remember that either.
You remember every second, seared into your brain. The point is that group is not going to consistently put up points. And as good as that defense is, and I want to think that the Rams having this bad week against the 49ers means that's more likely that the Bears can put the same game plan in, slow down the Rams offense enough and the Rams defense, while they breathe fire upon you, they also leave themselves open for big games over the course of four quarters. Like, that means that this would be a similar matchup. It's how much was Bobby right when he's saying Jimmy G played worse from being hurt, and this game was him getting back into the swing of it. If Jimmy G is actually 100%, and even with his limitations, you know, you have the puppeteer Shanahan over there putting Garoppolo into the right places. I trust that more than Nagy with Nick Foles. And I think the Rams, one, it's trying to recover from that game that, okay, we saw what they could do. We got it on tape. And if the Bears are going to try to come in with that same game plan, we're already going to have it scouted because we've prepared basically 2 weeks for this same game. I'm going to go with the Rams on it because I just trust them more to come in with the right game plan in a big-time matchup. I don't trust the Bears at all. I don't trust Matt Nagy. I don't trust Nick Foles. The only people you can trust is the defense, and the Rams could probably win that game just by having Aaron Donald shut down the Bears' offense, which isn't that hard to do.
I trust Meek Mill. I trust Nick Foles on some Meek Mill dreams and nightmares. I trust him on that. And he's right. He's riding that, man. They got him back into that team takeover because that's what the Bears needed. They needed a quarterback that took over the team, and Mitchell Trubisky couldn't do that. You said it yourself. He took over a team and won a Super Bowl. He could do that with this team. He could take this team over.
He took over a Super Bowl caliber team and took them to the Super Bowl. Now,
he's taking
that's
over
not
a playoff caliber
nothing.
Team, and he's going to take them to the Super Bowl.
He's going to take a slightly above average Bears team to a wild card game. Like, that's the trajectory. He's a good enough quarterback and has enough confidence to keep you on your path. That's what he's able to do. So, yeah, he's a smart pickup. If you're already ready, you're like, we need that backup, or we got an injured quarterback and we want to keep winning, perfect guy, Nick Foles, great. If you're just an average-ass team that doesn't know how to win, Nick Foles is just going to keep you as an average-ass team that doesn't know how to win. And that's where the Bears are. That's where they'll stay. They've been lucky to get out to the record that they are right now. That's a team built for regression. Starts with the Rams.
Nick Foles is a Frito. He is a Frito. You know what you do at Fritos? You surround them with good foods. You put people around them. You put taco meat, lettuce, and cheese. And now you got a taco salad. You put chili in with it, cheese, onions. Now you got a great home comfort dish. Nick Foles is Fritos. You give him a Khalil Mack, a David Montgomery, an Allen Robinson, a Jimmy Graham who can come back from injury and hopefully get back to where he was in the beginning of the season. He can take your team.
You know when you eat Fritos? You know when you eat Fritos? On a random Sunday in the fall. But
or a Tuesday when you got nothing else.
When you go in the playoffs, you are not eating Frito chili pies every goddamn week. That gets old real fast, Marco. It starts to suck real fast. You realize the deficiencies in your Frito addiction very fast come January, February. Mark it on your calendar. Bobby, get us the hell out of this segment because this is too much for me.
I just want to know if he had that set up for a bit, because I think you're the only one I know who actually eats Fritos.
They're good.
I'm not doubting that, but I'd have some Doritos or something next to me. But we're moving on from the chip conversation because I really want to pick Chicago in this game, but for some reason I can't bet on Nick Foles. Yes, we see you. I can't bet on Nick Foles. It's probably because I'm a little salty still. I could still feel the pain searing in my soul because for some ungodly reason, the Patriots couldn't stop anything in that game. But I'm not salty. That's why I'm picking the Rams, because I think Jared Goff is going to throw for about four tutties with three of them coming to Cooper Kupp in a little bit of a redemption game. Because we have to know that if Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp were on the same page in that game, the Rams probably dropped 35 and they win easily.
Also throw the ball to Henderson a lot. I really need it. It's been a tough couple weeks in fantasy. Need them to fix that shit.
And that's all the games we got for this week, folks.
Perfect. That means we're pretty close to ending this podcast, but we obviously have to talk about MLB, which means we are to the portion of the podcast where Marco monologues and we all do the Dwight from The Office head bob.
Just entertain me for a second. Just entertain me. Let me entertain y'all. No, I don't really have much to say about it other than I told you from the first time we talked about who was going to be in the World Series. Who did I tell you was going to be?
I didn't hear that. I mean, I'm not saying you didn't say it. I just wasn't listening.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm used to talking to myself.
I listen to the rest of what you say, Marco, just not about baseball.
That's fine. Usually what I have to say about baseball is not going into the numbers or stats, which like completely defeats the purpose of baseball because that's built what it's built on. I think it's one of these situations where you got to look at it like at the NBA bubble. You got a young team who got to the World Series, built with pitching and just having a young roster that was hungry. And then you got a Dodgers team who is a built team, the best team in baseball. And that's how it was in the NBA Finals, that Heat team. They had one lead. They had the leader in Butler surrounded with a bunch of young guys who believed. That's what we got here in Tampa. And then, of course, the Lakers, you had LeBron, AD, and veterans around who had championship experience. This is the third World Series trip made by this Dodgers team. They got to get one at some point, man. At some point, they just got to get one. And I think it happens now. And I think it makes up also that you lost to a team like the Astros. Maybe the baseball gods are looking down the Dodgers and saying, like, hey, this is one that you can get. This is one that it's like Angels in outfield. We're going to put you in the opportunity to win, but we can't let you win in the playoffs. We'll get you there, but we can't let you win. So that's what's going to happen. I think that the Dodgers, it may be a 4-1, Rays get one. But Dodgers right now, I believe, are a run and a half favorite in that first game. And I think that they'll cover that. But yeah, this is a one that the Dodgers could definitely win. Rays, congratulations, you've made it. You beat the Astros, a team that no one wanted to see make it to the World Series. You did it in Game 7. You did it. You ripped their hearts out of their chest, just like how they did to the Yankees and their ALCS win. It was awesome. I was telling you about it. I was like, I was watching it for that reason. I was watching it to see that Astros team just go down in defeat. But yeah, this one here, it's Dodgers. And I think a lot of people in the baseball world would tell you the same thing.
So – since we talked about the on-the-field stuff, I have to focus on just things off the field where somebody should be fired or needs to be fired. So, Boston, is the GM that traded Mookie Betts just still there? Like, is that allowed? Like, that's not quite as bad as, retaining Adam Gase as the coach of the New York Jets or something. But it's pretty darn close. And then I saw this on Twitter that the pitcher with the weird name starts with like a G.
Glasnow? Are you talking about Glasnow?
The one for the Dodgers that they like was apparently going to be thrown in on the trade, but Boston's like, no, we're good. We're going to give you Mookie Betts for free. Also, this prospect, we don't want him. Not good enough for us. And he's just kicking ass too, right along with him. So it's that level of stupidity. It's amazing how many people get to keep their jobs when they suck that bad at their jobs.
Well, it was kind of like the Mika when you guys talked about the Mika Fitzpatrick trade. It was a steal. It shouldn't have happened. And that's what it was like. When people had talked about Mookie Betts, I thought the Red Sox were going to let him walk. Like, all right, that's fine. That happens with superstars if you don't want to pay them. And then they just went and traded him for peanuts. And so, yeah, I think that if you're O'Callaghan, the Red Sox GM, man, you're kicking yourself for that one. And now the Red Sox are in a tough position. It's like the Rams, I kind of think. You overpay these players. And yeah, they're superstars. They look good, and that's why you give them the money. But long run, though, it's going to come to bite you in the butt. And the Red Sox—they're lucky for them. Baseball has no salary cap, and so they can just restart with money. It's about who they just got to find the right people to pay. And what's so nice about
who would have been good? Who? Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts, right?
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. It's so funny.
I don't know much about baseball, but I know that.
The team to come out of that division was a team that did it right and that's growing the prospects and making trades and putting people in your system, in your farm system, letting them grow. So the Rays, I think that I'm shining a light towards them making it because they made it out of the division that featured the Yankees and the Red Sox, who had two of the highest payrolls in baseball. That's the story to be looked at with them for that.
Yep. Good job for the Rays, and they're not as, pandemic inducing as the Marlins. So, to survive Florida the way they have is
that's true.
That alone, good job on the Rays, and we'll see how they do against Dodgers. That should be fun. That's all I have for baseball. I don't know if is there any other sports topics. I think we hit the breaking news of Tua and then everything else. I am so lost in my work at this point that I don't really have any idea what's going on anywhere else. We're not going to do a LeBron debate today. We're not going to have the Jordan thing. But I will say this is the first year that it's exciting. This is the first time that we've gotten to a point in LeBron's career where it's worth talking about, because his just long list of accolades, and I think once you're at four championships, I think we can stop even letting people who want to talk about how many finals he's lost into the conversation. Like, if you want to do a negative, talk about the Mavericks series, but that's about it. The rest of it is he has one of the greatest careers when you look at what he's achieved. And then from there, it's just semantics on what we think better is. So I'm excited. Hopefully we can get to that point and we can stop letting really dumb people jump into the conversation all the time. Because that's the only thing about that makes that argument suck for me. It's not that nobody will change sides and whatever. I like people to have their tribalism. I just need you to come in with good points and not dumb shit that I have to keep telling you why it doesn't make sense. Like,
hey man, are you talking about my Bears take earlier?
No. What was it? Your Bears thing? That's fine. That was wrong, but it was fine. No, but like the conversation with LeBron always gets to the finals losses, and then that Jordan is 6-0, and it's like, no, Jordan won 6 championships. You don't get extra points for not making the finals. Like, the fact that you won each time you went, but you have other seasons where you didn't even make it to the finals, like, that doesn't add to your legacy. Like, so that's the main thing. Things like that become like the crux of so many arguments. Like, there, you can go back and forth all day and have different reasons you'd pick Jordan, different reasons you pick LeBron. Stop giving me the dumb parts of the argument, you know? And that's 90% of what we hear. And I blame First Take. I blame Skip Bayless. And he should have just been booted off TV once Dak Prescott's ankle broke. At that moment, it was just like, we don't need to ever hear from Skip Bayless again. But he's still there. I haven't watched it in years. Hopefully you guys haven't either. People need to only listen to the best podcast on the internet. Too many points on the Tell Me More podcast. That's all we have. We will be back next week to talk more football. We might do two next week. I don't know. Maybe. It's possible. We won't. High school football playoffs are starting. So one maybe. We'll see if Bobby's awake. That's all we have for this week. Later, folks.